Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
Toward the end zone and off the fingertips of Aguilar.
We was catching him. Unlike Aguilar.
New England takes it 17-10.
Kneel before Zeus.
Dale Arnold.
Do I think people enjoy can say I had a lot of fun playing there? No, I don't.
Look like I had a lot of fun out there today.
I don't know how Johnson could look at himself in a mirror today.
Rich Key.
What's up, Gronk Nation? I have a big announcement to make. It's gonna be fun.
Oh my god!
It's gonna be wild. It's gonna be a good time.
You still think he's coming back?
Yes!
New England Patriots receivers assemble.
Dale and Keith, middays.
Romo's always right.
Why doesn't he tell my wife that?
This is my wife.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI. Our Tom Brady midday replay comes up at the bottom of the hour, and I think I heard the cut this morning when I was listening to him on the Greg Hill Show that will probably encapsulate why he sounded so sad after a win yesterday. By the way, he wasn't in a whole lot better mood today either.
No, he wasn't. And in fact, that Greg and Fitzy and Danielle did a pretty good job of at least getting him to chuckle
to
a little
buck
bit.
Him up
because,
a little bit.
Yeah, he was sad. He was really sad.
Well, I'd be disappointed after that performance.
When they lost yesterday, was it 30-0? Was that the... They won yesterday.
Oh, they won yesterday.
Remember, it's not always about winning.
It's not.
It's always about winning.
Well, winning is number one, but it also is how
you want to play well.
Sure. You don't go out there and win and go, we won, and we had... You know, 15 total yards on offense.
If they won every game 7-0, I don't think he'd be all that thrilled. And you're always thinking big picture too. You're always thinking about.
They won the Super Bowl 13-3. He seemed pretty happy.
He brought up. Yeah, that's all. That's the last game. Yes. You're done. You don't have to worry
about
anything
else. Doesn't matter. You can win 2-0. You're happy.
But that's the thing is, you always want the offense to play well. And he even brought up it's two great examples. They scored a ton of points in a Super Bowl and lost. They scored not a lot of points in a Super Bowl and won. So you never know what your defense is going to allow. So you just need to score as many points as possible. You can't punt 8 times. You can't kick 3 field goals essentially all inside the red zone, all under 40 yards, and have that kind of performance. You can't
get
them
there.
It's going to bite you.
You got to know that your offense is good enough that it can make you win any game, right?
Right. Exactly.
And I don't think that he feels that way, and I don't think they feel that way where their offense is good enough that they can win any game just based on what they can do offensively.
Right. All right, so Saturday in Atlanta was the workout for Colin Kaepernick.
Big pro day.
Big pro day.
Never been done before in the history of the National Football League that for a free agent, we're going to have one guy in one place. We're going to invite all the teams. We're going to videotape it. And as the week went on last week, there were a bunch of details about it, which quite frankly led me to believe that Colin Kaepernick was being set up by the National Football League. You know, he finds out on Tuesday.
Seems
you got
like
2 hours to say yes or no.
They're like, hey, can we do it on a Tuesday? They said no, Saturday. They're like, oh, can
but
we
they
do
also
it the following
Saturday?
He goes, nope, this Saturday. Okay. Can I bring my own receivers? No. Can I have somebody run me through the drills? They're like, nope.
We're going to
have
media a guy. Beat
and it was so poorly planned, you could even see all the details the way they were coming out because they're like, Hugh Jackson is going to run it. And Hugh Jackson didn't even know that until like Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like there's this whole plan and they were all set. And then you get into like the minutiae of it. And there's this waiver that Kaepernick has to sign, which basically is like, you can't accuse us of like collusion ever again because we're setting this up for you.
Right.
So then he's like, all right, I'm not doing it. And I think, and again, whether you like Kaepernick or not, that's not really the
no, that's
case
got nothing
here.
To do with no. what we're talking
but
about.
But the point is, I understand why on Saturday he called a last-minute audible, because if he calls the audible on Thursday, let's say he's looking over the papers and he says, all right, I'm not doing it, then nobody's flying to Atlanta. No teams are down there. He was supposed to have 25 teams represented, and then when he gave him the old okey-doke, went up the street to a high school outside of Atlanta, I think only 8 teams went. Right. But 8 of them were like, all right, we're here, we're going to go. The other 20 were like, no.
Were they not there, the other 20?
No, they didn't go.
No. But what initially...
They were supposed to be at the Falcons facility.
Were they all at the Falcons facility?
I think they were going to be. He called it off about an hour or two
so
before.
So what's the big deal of saying, all right, you know what? I'm here now. Let me drive 30 minutes
out. Well, I think some of them were only there because, in my opinion, Roger Goodell strongly encouraged that all teams be represented there. The Patriots were there. Why are the Patriots there? They don't want them.
Right.
What, to scout in case you go somewhere else? Like,
and
maybe,
I'm willing to bet you that's the reason why. And that's what led me to believe this whole thing was a fraud. Because it was like Roger Goodell saying, all right, make sure you guys all have somebody there. I don't care who you send down there. You can send down the secretary for all I care.
And then they were like, all right, I'm here, but he's moving it, so now I don't have to go.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to go scout a college game in the area or just get back on a plane and go back to my city or whatever. But 8 teams went. He held a little pro day. He also, he wanted like full transparency. And I don't see why not, because why wouldn't they screw
What's
him?
The NFL afraid of?
I have no idea. That he looks good?
I mean, so he wanted media there. The NFL didn't. Why? What are they afraid of?
It's very simple.
What if he looks good?
I think.
And they want to be able to say he doesn't look good?
Yeah, they want to be able to.
That's how my mind works.
The NFL wants to be able to, with this thing from the jump, is what I've said, control the narrative, right? We want to be able to control this thing. And by having the media there, they lose that control because now we as just, you know, fans or people that...
We can't spin it by saying this is how he looked or this is what he did or this is what the scouts were saying.
Right.
Because other than we'd have no idea. And then it'd be a he said because right. Kaepernick's camp would say, oh, he looks sharp. And like, well, of course you'd say that.
Right.
So Michael McCann wrote about the whole thing because this gets into the law in sports again.
Yeah.
And he talks about the injury liability waiver and the unrealistic assumption. According to the NFL... This is what the NFL claims. On Wednesday, it sent to Kaepernick's reps what it termed a standard liability waiver. Here's the key point here. Based on the waiver used by the National Invitational Camp at all NFL combines. Based on. Because it wasn't standard waiver that they give to all the kids who go to the combines. It wasn't that.
Right.
They were trying to have all of the ducks in a row so that, oh, by the way, if something happens and nobody gives you a chance to play, you can't sue us down the road.
This is proving that we give you a shot. So that's why I think it made all the sense in the world for Kaepernick to leave. And we were trying to say, why would the NFL do this? Why would the NFL do this? Because this issue was not exactly on the top of mind. We weren't leading shows saying, well, how come Kaepernick's not playing 2.5 years, almost 3 years later? This is one of those things. One is they could try to tell everybody, see, he's not blackballed because we're giving him a chance.
Right.
And then even in the writing of this, you're getting involved, say, all right, now Kaepernick, you can't even come at us again.
But don't you think that, and this is where it's kind of confusing to me, because I would think when you're talking about settlements and lawyers and all that, those are pretty smart guys, right?
Sometimes.
You would think.
Michael McCann is. He was my lawyer.
Right, but when you're paid a lot for their education.
When you're talking about a settlement that Kaepernick settled out with the NFL, I would think there would be some type of writing in that original settlement, the $10 million one that we now know.
Oh, we don't even know if it was $10
million. But whatever the number was, whatever the number that they're telling us, right? We initially, we were hearing $80, $90 million. But there was a settlement that he had. Don't you think in that settlement, the NFL would be smart enough to go, okay, you can never sue us for collusion?
It's funny because McCann writes about that.
Like a double
he
jeopardy.
Says, unless the settlement is explicitly worded to also include future instances of collusion, Kaepernick would not have waived potential claims for any collusive conduct that occurred thereafter. What he says is, if he looks at this and says, you tell me on Tuesday, I got 2 hours to say yes or no. You tell me Tuesday, it's got to be Saturday. And you're trying to make sure that I fail at this. McCann suggests he could absolutely file a second collusion case against the NFL.
Okay. It's based on this.
So the collusion case is not based on him being blackballed from the NFL.
No, it's based this on
circus.
This.
It's based on the circus of this workout. Yeah. Okay, so I understand. I can see what McCann is saying
there.
Now it makes more sense.
Yeah.
But when you look at this thing from Jump Street, and this is what irritates me the most, is about all these people that are so fraudulent. I heard Stephen A. Smith talking about it. I forget who else I heard talking about it, where the NFL was doing Kaepernick a favor. They're like, hey, we're doing this to help you. Initially, if you're really trying to help out a guy, the first thing you would do is say, what would be the best time for us to have potential people that a decision maker's down there? Why not do it on a Tuesday? We'll do it on a Tuesday.
Wiggy, despite what you said, they didn't have secretaries and ball boys. They had real scouts. Now, there weren't as many of them because Colin Kaepernick decided, we're going to move this to a high school field an hour away. They started out, supposedly 24 teams were going to have reps there. It ended up being eight reportedly.
But those ain't decision makers. You really think?
No, you're not going to have a GM or a coach there.
Right, but if you do it on,
you're going to have a scout there.
But if you do it on a Tuesday, you might have a GM or a...
But I also think the 25 teams being represented, that in and of itself is a joke. So for 3 years...
Have no, there are some teams who don't need Colin Kaepernick.
And for 3 years, nobody would bring him in for a workout, right. And now all of a sudden 25 are interested? Like, please. It should be a smaller group, and the eight that decided to go, okay, maybe there's some interest there, and they're looking at what their quarterback depth is. They're saying, all right, could this guy be a backup for us or whatever? But it seemed a little crazy that all of a sudden all these teams have some sort of interest in him. Like, no, they don't. None of them do, and he's not going to sign with anybody.
But don't you realize in scouting, right, There are levels to scouts, right? There's the vice president of scouting that oversees everything, right? And then there's regional scouts, and
based on how that works, a low level scout could go to the Florida Missouri game,
right,
and say, "Hey, I really like this guy." He can't sign him, but he could give you a hard sell and say, "You got to at least go see him." Or if a low level scout really liked Kaepernick, hypothetically,
okay,
I don't think they will, but if he hypothetically did. Now they go to their boss and talk to them, and then their boss goes to their boss, who then eventually goes to Caserio and Belichick, right. And then maybe they invite him to Foxborough. They're not just going to sign him, but they might. It starts at least the ball rolling.
Well, and the other part of this is that reportedly the NFL, if this was at the Atlanta Falcons facility like it was supposed to be, was going to videotape the interview, was going to videotape the workout. They were going to provide that videotape to all 32 teams so that then if the low-level scout said, you know, I saw a little something here, then the head of scouting looks at the videotape that the NFL gives him. But Kaepernick screwed all that up when he moved it all an hour away.
If they do it on a Tuesday, guess who can show up?
I know, you keep harping on the Tuesday.
But that's a huge point. You want to make your point of if he shows up.
I don't think the GM was going to show up on a Tuesday.
But maybe the GM doesn't show up.
And the coach wasn't going to show up on a Tuesday.
Maybe the coach doesn't show up. Maybe the GM doesn't show up. But maybe the head of scouting does show up.
The head of scouting could have been there on a Saturday. It's the coaches and GMs who couldn't be there on a Saturday.
Okay, so the coaches and GMs could have been there on a Tuesday.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have.
How do you know a GM's not going to be there on
a
Tuesday?
Not a chance.
I don't know if anything that matters, though. Nobody's signing them.
No. But the point that I'm trying...
I don't care if everybody in the organization
is there. But don't you want to get in the room with the decision makers? Right, and so the best chance of the decision makers being there.
Yeah, but it's like an interview before the interview.
Exactly.
That's all it is.
Nobody was going to sign Colin.
But no,
Kaepernick
I agree.
Out of the workout.
Okay,
hey, Colin, come here. We got a contract.
You interview with like a lower level person first. Anyway, a lot
I
of
agree
jobs
with
that.
You on that point. But all I'm saying is that the way that they made the way the NFL did this. This was a no-win from Cap from the beginning because it was on a Saturday. So you knew right there on then. Only low-level scouts can be there.
But I also wonder...
No, the head of scouting could be there.
He could go. Is this going to be...
Why couldn't he? You knew that you weren't getting any GMs or any...
You weren't going to get a GM or a coach if it was on Tuesday.
You don't know that, though.
Yeah, you do.
Well, how do you know that?
How many workouts do coaches and GMs do that's not in their own facility?
How many GMs, we see this all the time, go to college football games to scout players?
None.
There are GMs that...
None.
I just was watching the... I forget which game I was watching, and Todd McShay, it might have been the Ohio State game with Chase Young a couple of weeks ago, and they're like, oh, there are GMs that are in the building. GMs will go to games if they really want to see a certain guy. The GM can jump on a plane after the game on a jet and get to wherever his team's playing the next day.
I can almost promise you Nick Caserio is not going to a big Ohio State game on the day before the Patriots play.
But the point that I'm trying to make is if you have it on a Tuesday.
Unless the Texans want him to go, then he would
well,
go.
Then,
but,
yeah.
But the point, all I'm trying to make the point is if you have it on the Tuesday, whether or not they show up is irrelevant, but the chances are at least there. On a Saturday, you get no shot at hell. So I'd rather have a 1% chance than a 0% chance.
I didn't think anybody was going to sign Colin Kaepernick. As I said before, it's been 3+ years since he played. I didn't think anybody was interested. Nobody's brought him in for a workout.
Right.
But what the NFL ended up doing was making me feel sorry for the guy.
I know. This was all a joke. If you didn't think he was blackballed before, and maybe you didn't. Maybe you're just like, hey, you know, a lot of teams don't want him. Why would they need him? He's not a fit everywhere. But then for them to pull a stunt like this, you have to rethink it and say, God, he was blackballed the whole time.
They really were trying to rig it against him.
And that's the only point that I'm making with the NFL.
Which, according to Michael McCann, could give him grounds for a second collusion suit against the National Football League.
All they did with this was find a way to allow him to sue them again and get more money out of them.
Yes.
And at least if they didn't do it on a Tuesday, why couldn't they have done it the following Saturday?
It's already week 11, so what's the difference?
Right, so they do it the following
Saturday. Couldn't get Joe Philbin? Yeah, I'm pretty sure Philbin's available.
Right, yeah, and Hugh Jackson's probably not doing anything the following Saturday. So at least maybe what you could do is you could now let these, because once this is all going and they put it out there, now teams are scrambling like, hey, listen, we got to do this. So if you do it the following Saturday, it gives them a little bit more time. And if you invite the media, then he knows.
The media was a bigger deal for me. The day of the week, I mean, I thought it was kind of...
Yeah, why not the media?
Because what are you afraid of, NFL?
They want to control the narrative.
Sharp, I guess.
Yeah, what if he goes out there and just is ripping it?
Spinning it.
Yeah,
just
all over the
ripping
field.
Yeah, but if you work for the NFL, right, and you're here's a hypothetical. You work for the NFL, and they go, we want the media there. Now, you got to say to yourself, what's the likelihood that he goes out there and he just rips it and spins it and looks amazing versus he goes out there and looks bad?
No, he's going to look good because it's a former professional quarterback throwing, just playing pass.
Right.
Like he's on an open field, no equipment, no defense, nothing. It's a controlled environment. Everybody would look good. You and me, Wiggy, could put together a little highlight reel right now out in the parking lot. You're like, oh, these guys don't look bad.
Right.
Like,
so
it's not so that hard to do.
The NFL, what they wanted to do, the reason why they said no to the media is because they wanted to be able to continue the lies and the fraud by saying, here's where it slips out.
Your guy Schefter Sunday morning would say, Kaepernick looked out of shape and no arm strength.
He couldn't complete any pass over 20 yards. He threw this, that. So now the NFL now gets everybody going, see, we knew Cap wasn't good enough to play anyways.
Rank from most likely to play again to least likely to play again in the NFL, Colin Kaepernick, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski.
Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, Kaepernick. You said most likely to
most
least.
Most likely to least
yes.
likely.
That's so Antonio probably, Brown is most likely.
I think
likely.
He is the most likely.
Yes.
Because he's still really, really good and he wants
year,
to play.
But next year.
Right.
Yes. I think next year Brown plays.
Right.
I don't think either of the other guys play. So I think I'd probably
I
have
think
a
you
tie
got a better chance of Gronk coming back next
Kaepernick.
Year. Kaepernick will never play in the NFL. Never.
So then, and by the way, I agree with you. He won't.
Yeah.
So what was the NFL doing?
I told you, the NFL, and Rich had the perfect...
No, what they've done is open
themselves
up.
They're dumb.
To further issues.
They thought that they could close the door completely on it. And they also got bad advice from Jay-Z, who I think told them that this would be a good idea. And that's why you saw Jay-Z calling out Kaepernick and saying, oh, I didn't like that he did this. Because I think Jay-Z felt bad because he thought this was going to be a real coup for the NFL.
Right.
Like, hey, guys, we do this. There's still some people that are upset about Kaepernick. Let's just prove to everybody, wink, wink, that he's allowed in the league.
Right.
He just doesn't have what it takes anymore. And so between Jay-Z, between trying to prove that he's not blackballed, they just made themselves look worse.
And that 25 teams are showing up. And then you throw on to that, and that's Goodell saying, hey, send the representative down there. At the end of the day, this thing was all a joke about what was going on.
We asked this last week when word got out about this thing.
Why
is the NFL doing this?
As simple as that.
They should have just let this thing lie. This thing was dead.
No one said anything. No one was clamoring for Colin Kaepernick. Well, a few people were, but for the most part.
I mean, right. It had pretty much gone away. Everybody had sort of moved on.
Well,
the timing is just so weird.
You know why, though, now that I'm thinking about it, because, Rich, you just brought up a good point.
Thank you.
That stands out to me. The reason why is because when you start allowing people to sit at the table that have no football background, like Jay-Z, dumb things like this.
Well, now Jay-Z's mad at Colin Kaepernick.
But that's my point is because he set it up.
He's probably set it up. He's like, guys,
this will work out great. Right. And then Kaepernick does the old switcheroo, and they're like, hey, Jay-Z, you told us this wouldn't happen. And he's like, well, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about.
But Goodell's going, well, You sure this will work? Yeah. Jay-Z, wait a second.
It's going to work.
You're, hey, listen. You're the black voice in the room. We're going to...
You screwed us again.
You sure this is going to work? Yeah, Jay's like, listen here, homie. Cheer. This is what we're going to do. You get Cap to come in. It's all water under the bridge. Yeah, and Goodell's probably like,
oh, okay.
What do I know?
Exactly. You've just hit the nail on the head.
And that's what happens. Mm-hmm. And then you let people in the room that don't know. Because any logical person who's been around the game will say, Roger, nobody's talking about this. Let him sleep.
Yeah, just let it go.
Eric's in New Hampshire. Hey, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Do any of you guys think Kaepernick had any intention whatsoever of ever showing up to this workout?
Yeah. He was in Atlanta. I think he thought about it.
He brought five wide receivers with him.
Yeah, I think he was prepared to do something. Now, he probably, once he and his agent and his lawyer took a look at what the league wanted him to sign, at that moment he probably changed his mind. But, yeah, I mean, it's not like he didn't throw the ball around on Saturday.
Well, I don't know if he had to wait till Friday or Saturday to pull the old switcheroo. There's some logistics involved to schedule a high school field. Did he need to play it out till whenever the decision made?
Yeah,
What was the timeline?
I think he should have.
To me, it really doesn't matter in the sense of if he wanted to pull the rug out from under them the last minute. What's the difference of just going to a different field?
No, but to do it on Saturday, you at least ensure that all those teams have flown representatives into Atlanta on Saturday. They probably weren't in town on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And if you said, we're switching it, I think even more teams would say, forget it, we're not going.
Right. When I look at this whole workout situation, he wanted to do this. All he wanted was his guys in the media.
Didn't he, in some respects, though, didn't he just confirm what some people have always said about him? He's going to be a distraction. He's going to be an issue. He's going to be a problem. I mean, for some folks who think this is not worth it, he just kind of confirmed it for him.
Well, no, what he does, Dale,
for Stephen A. Smith,
and Rex Ryan.
Yeah. But Dale, you're part right, because what it does do is it gives them a little spice on their take. Yeah, look what he did. He pulled out the last minute, because there are people saying, well, he never really wanted to play anyways.
Yeah, because you just ignore the writing in the waiver, right? You ignore that part of it.
Right.
You're like, see, he won't even do what the league says. You're like, well, there's a reason why. Like, I don't care. He didn't do anything.
Right, you completely ignore everything the league did, and you go.
It's the same people that said, oh, like he opted out of his contract with the Niners. Like, well, they were going to cut him.
Let's play the silly game here, because it's what we do.
I love a silly game.
When he showed up at the high school field and came out wearing a Kunta Kinte T-shirt, weren't you thinking, what's he doing?
Kunta Kinte.
No, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean, I don't think he's completely changed his
But what he does is confirm what some people say. He's going to be an issue. If we bring him in, he's going to be a distraction. He's going to be a problem. First of all, he's not going to be the starting quarterback.
Maybe
he's going to be the backup.
Well,
right?
Maybe he was just a fan of the Roots television show.
I don't know if that was it. Maybe.
But that's where the...
I might have worn it another time. I might have, worn my Nike T-shirt
but
out there.
It once again would prove, if that's how teams feel, is that a guy standing up for social justice issues is more of a distraction than a guy that beats women, a guy that...
Oh, no, I'm not suggesting that at all. Right.
But I am. I think a lot of GMs and owners look at that as, well, that's kind of, once we get past that, they'll be fine. Like, oh, that was a mistake that guy made and everything else. And it's clear, taking a knee was seen as much worse than guys who are actual criminals.
Can't wear a shirt to support Louis Gossett Jr. and Kunta Kinte, a TV show that was a big hit.
My point is, if he wanted a job, I might not have worn it that day.
Well, that's
for some people who are looking for a reason to not bring the distraction in.
Right.
He gave it to them.
Right, but see, that's where I look at people and go, you never really are going to give this guy a chance anyways, because if you're concerned about a T-shirt
he doesn't really want a chance. Well, my point.
But
he acts like he doesn't really want it.
But
you know what he wants? He wants to be a martyr.
No.
He showed up, though.
No. See, that's where it becomes, so what if he's wearing a Kunta Kinte T-shirt, right? So that means he doesn't want to play, or that's going to be the effect that he has? That's where I think people nowadays, they miss the point.
I mean, Kareem Hunt kicked a woman in the face.
Right, they stop.
It's like,
and I'm going to try to justify
It's like the whole saying, you're thinking about the materialistic things rather than focusing on the point.
617-779-7937. We'll get you our Tom Brady midday replay. And the reason why we think he's got a case of the sads, it's Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, and it's time to trend.
It's Middays with Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. No need to check the time, as it's...
We have noon 30.
Noon 30.
It's noon 30.
It's going to be the Wild West at noon 30. Dale's already warmed up to noon 30.
No, I haven't.
You just said noon 30.
That's what you called it for.
It's noon 30 with Dale and Keith.
Time for our Tom Brady Midday Replay. It's brought to you by Needham Bank. Can we be your bank every Monday, every Patriots Monday? Patriots quarterback Tom Brady joins the Greg Hill Show. He was there this morning along with Fitzy and Danielle. And, you know, he kind of was a bit sad yesterday.
He was a lot sad.
Despite the fact that they won.
Greg wanted to give him a hug. You mentioned it a few times. Like, I wish I could give you a warm embrace.
You get a road win against a decent, not great opponent, but a good opponent.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good.
We'll call him good.
Solid.
Good. Philly's good.
You get a win on the road against the team that beat you in the Super Bowl. Not that that, you know,
you feel
makes
now?
Up for that. No.
Oh, okay.
Didn't make me feel any better about that. But I listened to the whole thing this morning, and I actually think I know why he's not happy. And it comes in this part, and the question was, are you looking ahead and thinking about where this offense needs to be? And this answer, I think, is why he's not happy right now.
I just think it has to win the game. Ultimately, you just have to score more points than the other team. That, you know, goes without saying. So I don't know what it's going to be on a particular week. If it's, you know, we won the Super Bowl 13-3. You know, that was pretty good. We lost the Super Bowl 41-33, so that wasn't good. So I don't know how many points it's going to be. You know, it's the reality is it's a team sport. It's complementary football, and, you know, the strength of our team is our defense and our special teams. So on offense, we've just got to, you know, we got to take advantage when we get opportunities and, you know, understand that, you know, where our strengths lie and try to play to them. And, you know, not give any short fields and not turn the ball over and try to take advantage when we get into the red area to score touchdowns. And that's kind of where our offense is. That's kind of where our team is.
The strength of our team is defense and special teams.
He's not wrong.
Right.
No, he's not wrong. But in 20 years, how many times has that been the case?
After you got by about year four of his career, never.
Right. It's not like it's never happened, but there was a long stretch there, really. You know, 07 on, it's been there's been some really good defenses, don't get me wrong, mixed in there. But the offense has always been
the number one focal point.
Yes, always.
But I think the one thing he said in that cut that stands out was we got to be able to score touchdowns in the red zone, right? That's the biggest thing. Because when you look at it, I don't know how a game's going to be, but we got to be able to, whether it's a one possession, which we saw in the Super Bowl last year, where you're able to come away with a touchdown in the red zone, that's where I think the biggest frustration he has.
But what do you think it means to sort of admit? Now, the defense is great. So it's not like he's saying that
great.
The defense is a strength and the defense is like middle of the pack, right? So you're not doing that. This is a great defense. They've had one hiccup all year. But it basically sounds like he's resigned to the fact that, this is a defense and special teams team.
But the defense is better than the offense, and the special teams may be better than the offense.
And you're on your third kicker, by the way,
When you brought in Justin Bethel to add to Matthew Slater, and you've got a rookie, you know, who's punting
you got
the
a rookie
crap
punter
out
who's
of the
great,
ball.
But you got Nick Folk, and you're saying that, the special teams is better. So basically, as an offense, you got to try not to screw it up. You know who would say that? Trent Dilfer on the 2000 Ravens. Or right. Brad Johnson
in the
02
Brady
Bucks.
Was so upset yesterday because they almost did screw it up.
Yeah, they tried to at times.
Right.
They had a couple of issues, and they know that this isn't going to be good enough. And you're also putting so much pressure on your defense, and there's so little room for error. So when you play a team like Baltimore or in a few weeks like Kansas City, now you're telling your defense to, I know this is a really good offense on their side, but you got to hold them to like 14 points. Can you do that?
Right, because we struggle to score points.
Because, we're hopefully going to, squeeze out 17.
You're a team, and I've been on those teams before, where the other unit looks and goes,
jeez.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait a second.
Again? You guys just punted again? We got off the field.
We just scored.
Yeah.
We just had a drive where we went down the field. We 15-play drive. We came away with a touchdown, and then I just sat down. And I got to get up and go back on offense because we just gave up a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what you've become. That it's the other unit is looking at you funny. Yeah. Now, granted, they might not say that. It might not come across as that.
Right.
But you know, if you're the unit who's not carrying your weight, you know, man, like, man, they looking at us, man. We got to do better than this. And that's, I think that's the position that he's in where he's probably never been in that position.
Right. He's feeling frustrated. And I think that that frustration came through yesterday post-game. Not on the field. He seemed happy on the field as he was leaving. But when by the time he got to the podium, the frustration.
Maybe he was thinking about something.
And Greg asked him about that frustration factor today as well.
Well, and I was saying earlier when people were calling that you're a really competitive guy, and I'm sure some of that was frustration with yourself.
It's just frustration with the offense, and we're just trying to grind them out. It's, you know, happy we went on the road. But, you know, at the same time, you know, just wish we'd score more points.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
That, to me, was the most interesting cut of them all because Greg was kind of giving him an out because Tom Brady did not have his best game of the season, of his career, or by any measure, right? He was 26 of 47, 216 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, but a quarterback rating of 67.3, and Greg kind of gives him an out like, oh, you're probably frustrated with yourself. Long pause and says he's frustrated with the offense. Is that a guy who's not putting any of the offensive blame on himself? That's kind of what it sounds like.
No, because I think he always does.
No, he didn't there, but he's always.
Right, but
I didn't hear it there.
I think when you think of the offense, you ultimately think of him, right? And
yeah,
so
I don't know. I mean, isn't it kind of easy to be like, yeah, I need to play better?
But
like,
I think it's part of it. You're part of the offense. So, yeah, by me saying I'm frustrated with the offense, that kind of throws me into that category.
But it sounds like he's blaming more, you know, Sony Michel for dropping a pass, Marshall Newhouse for not being good at football.
Well, that's,
like,
that's the
more
way,
blaming those
that's
guys.
The way you're interpreting it.
Well, the way the question was phrased, it play it again.
That was frustration with yourself.
It's just frustration with the offense and we're just trying to grind them out.
That's obviously not blaming one person. He would never say Newhouse sucks.
Yeah, he'd never
but
do that.
Right. He didn't put any of the blame on himself.
But he put it on the offense.
He is
part of the offense.
Right. The centerpiece of the offense.
Right. But why can't he say that
It'd be
he
one thing
poorly?
If you
Why can't he say that it, he's frustrated in himself?
It's one thing if you're Tuukka Rask and they go, you know, hey, you're frustrated with yourself. He goes, you know what, I'm kind of frustrated we're not scoring. Right. I read it a little bit differently. But when you're part of the problem, which is not the not scoring part, and you're Patrice Bergeron, you go, you know, I'm frustrated with the fact that we're not scoring. You throw yourself into that category.
But I just think a guy like Tom Brady should be held to a higher standard than Sony Michel or Marshall Newhouse because he is the greatest of all time. He's still in the mix. He's still a top 6 to 10 quarterback in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So if you throw at a defensive player in the end zone and almost throw another pick in the end zone, things like that, that's on you. I'm sorry that the offensive line is bad. A lot of quarterbacks have bad offensive lines. And then when you're asked, you know, are you frustrated with yourself? Very easy answer. Yeah, of course I'm frustrated with myself and the entire offense. Or, you know, I'm as the quarterback of the offense, I'm leading the whole offense. But he didn't want to go there. It seems like he's blaming the other guys.
The other question that was then brought up was the debut of N'Keal Harry and what Tom Brady thought of how his rookie wide receiver looked yesterday.
N'Keal's, you know, worked hard, and he got some opportunities yesterday. And, you know, we just got to keep trying to get him up to speed. And like I said, he missed a lot of football. So got to try to incorporate him the best way we can and use his skills to see if we can – you know, see if he can, you know, be a productive player for us the second half of the year. So, again, I don't want to go make a bunch of predictions and we'll do this and we'll do that. And it comes down to all of us doing it, not speaking about it, but actually going out and doing it.
I mean, that's
once again, though, first thing is he works hard.
Well, that's positive. He's saying we got to get him up to speed.
Not anything, really.
He's up to. I mean, what it says is what
he works hard. We gotta get him some reps. Yeah. And he always mentions how much time he's missed, which I agree with him, is a huge factor. So then how can you realistically expect a lot out of him if it's just... sounds like he has a long way to go.
Well, that's what it's... that's the way Brady made it seem. And I think that's what we all expect with N'Keal Harry, is that, you know, we got to get him up to speed. He's missed a long time and... You know, hopefully he can contribute in a way, but it's going to be what he say at the end. It's like, you know, it's about what you do with your opportunities,
right? And you know, Harry obviously has to run the right route and catch balls that are thrown his way, but Brady has to give him a chance. It's a lot of it's going to come down
right,
to Brady.
But you also see. I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people miss out. You know, when they watch their All 22, I think they miss out on a lot of stuff. Even though they want to say, "Hey, I watched the All 22."
Yeah. Well, you're a football expert if you do.
Yeah, you are. I know. That's all you got to do nowadays. Watch the All 22. Yeah. But did he get jammed up? Was the timing messed up? So that's why Brady didn't go to him. Those type of things. Give me some information on that when I know. Let me know exactly what the play was they were running.
Yeah.
As we sit here on November, what's the date today?
The 18th.
The 18th. As we sit here on November 18th, Tom Brady has the same number of touchdown passes this month as Julian Edelman does.
Rough.
And Julian Edelman, of course, had the only touchdown pass in the game yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so Brady was asked this morning about, you know, whether Edelman was gloating about his touchdown pass.
It was a pretty great throw, if you ask me. you know, they kind of did up on the fake, and the safety came out of the middle of the field, and it was really great that Jules recognized that and just made a great throw. So that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. I was kind of going, where's he throwing? And then all of a sudden, Phillip was open in the middle of the end zone. And, you know, Phil made a great catch. Jules made a great throw.
So he was giving him credit.
It was a good toss.
Yeah, it was. I actually
And by the way, he got drilled as he let it go, too. Yeah.
Oh, Edelman. Dorsett, and they both did.
Well,
Dorsett got crushed.
Should it have been a penalty?
Well, no.
On
the defense?
It looked like a hit, helmet hit to me.
Yeah, I don't really know.
I don't know.
But it was one of those plays, and you saw them try to dial one up early in the game. The toss to Burkhead, throw back, Brady trying to throw it deep. That just starts to show you that we got to try to score in a number of different trick style ways.
Yeah. Oh, we're getting the Sanu pass next week.
Right.
Just to get something going for sure.
But that's the biggest thing that when you think about Brady's frustration is their inability to score in the red zone. Mm-hmm. And they get great opportunities from their defense. You know, they have another fumble yesterday.
Yep.
That fumble that they had.
Yeah, Carson Wentz.
Yeah, so it's like you're always going to get great.
Carson Wentz was running for his life, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but he was going up against a good defense. Brady was going up against a whatever defense.
By the way, Carson, we think you're a great quarterback. We love you as the head guy for our team. But we got a statue of the other guy outside the stadium. Did you see that?
No.
They've got a statue
of Foles?
Of the Philly play.
Oh, my God.
They put a statue up
Did they?
Of Doug Peterson and Nick Foles discussing
That's a weird spot play. To be in if you're Wentz.
You're Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
They got a statue of the guy you replaced outside the stadium.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
So they got a statue of Nick Foles outside the stadium.
Yes. He and Doug Peterson talking about calling the Philly. If you Google it, you'll see the picture of the statue of the two of them outside the stadium.
Philly is such a joke that they have a statue of the quarterback and the coach calling a play.
Yes. Well, it was a big play. I mean,
why not have a statue of Alshon Jeffries catching a touchdown in the back of the end zone?
Right.
Unlike Aguilar.
Yeah, Aguilar could not do it. Aguilar stinks. He really does.
Oh, why not have a statue of...
I'm looking at the picture of the statue right now. And they have
it looks like it's a Bud Light statue, though. I think they like
sponsored Bud Light sponsored it.
Right.
Oh, so it's not always there then.
Yeah, oh, no, I it's outside the stadium.
Forever? Okay.
I believe it is.
Yikes.
No, there's no way. I'm looking at this.
Nick Foles and Doug Peterson with the...
This has to be like... You want Philly?
That's what it is.
it's it's a Bud Light. It's probably got to be in like an area.
Yeah,
what a joke.
They said it's inside the what do they call it at the stadium? It says they unveiled the statue. It's inside the Head House Plaza at Lincoln Financial Field, and it's there. I mean, Bud Light sponsored it.
Dilly dilly.
But
that didn't really last very long.
And the base of the statue includes the conversation between the two of them.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
It says, we're told the statue will remain outside of the link for at least this season, with the possibility of it being a permanent fixture.
Okay. Now, was that the game-winning touchdown?
I mean, they scored so many.
Right. Wasn't it like early in the game?
I mean, I don't really
That's
remember.
Why I say Philly's such a... You just put, they're like the Colts. Now you just put up statues and banners.
They won the Super Bowl, though. That's a real thing.
But you're using that?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it was a big play.
You know?
What do you want?
But if you're Carson Wentz, you can go outside and see Nick Foles'
statue. Maybe, hey, you know what? Then maybe there's a chance I get a statue in front of Gillette.
I think so. Snowy statue. 10-catch game in the Snow Bowl.
617.
I wish I played in Philly, man. I'd have a statue.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keith with Wiggy Sports Radio, WEEI.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Super Bowl rematch, but Nick Foles is a Jacksonville Jaguar. He's not there. The Pats don't lose back-to-back games. It's a little difficult. I haven't seen that happen in a long time.
It's been a long time, Rich.
Whoops.
I don't know if you know
The best was I
lost back-to-back games.
So that was Rob Ninkovich forgetting about, you know, last season where it happened twice. So I just tweeted out the video of that over the weekend and made like a little smarmy comment about, besides the two times that happened. And all the people freaking out like I'm an idiot and I'm a troll and I'm this. I'm like, he works for ESPN now. You'd think you'd pay attention.
I think he meant to say
back to back off of a bye. No, he didn't mean to say that.
Listen to the back to back.
Wiggy, don't make excuses.
Super Bowl rematch, but Nick Foles is a Jacksonville Jaguar.
Right.
He's not there.
Right.
The Pats don't lose back to back games. It's a little difficult. I haven't seen that happen in a long time.
That happened twice last year.
Last year is a long time ago.
The Pats just don't lose a lot, period.
Yeah, that's accurate.
They didn't lose back-to-back games this year because he said that prior to the Eagles game, and they'd only lost one game all season. He was just wrong, and then everybody was making me feel bad on Twitter, like I'm the idiot. And that
they're like,
they don't do it often. I'm like, if you listen to the cut or watch the clip, which nobody did, he said, I don't remember the last time it happened. Last season, twice.
That's a long time ago.
It happened last season. Twice.
Last year's a long time, Rich.
The Pats don't lose back-to-back games. It's a little difficult. I haven't seen that happen in a long time.
If we're going to make... Thank you, John, for providing an accurate soundbite to accompany it. If we're going to make fun of Stephen A. Smith for saying Dwayne Haskins is a running quarterback. Right, for all those ones, right? When he's like, Hunter Henry is going to have a game, and so's
right. Going against
so's
Derek
Jamal
Johnson.
Charles or whatever. Yeah, if we're going to make fun of him for that, I think we can just point out that Ninkovich was completely wrong about the team that he played for, and you would think he would know pretty well. Like, if you're asking him about the Patriots, don't you think you should know that? And he just said it because it is such a common thing. The Patriots don't lose back-to-back games that often. They really don't. He's right about that. But he didn't say that often. He said, I don't remember the last time. Last season. Because we talked about it last year because it was so weird.
Right.
It happened at the beginning of the season. We're like, oh, my God, that's two in a row. And then as the year went on, we said the same thing. Well, they always play better down the stretch. They always beat Pittsburgh. They lost to Pittsburgh. Then they lost to Miami.
Well, shouldn't we get on Pat McAfee then? Because he also said in the cut we heard him play where he said the Patriots, when they play the team the second go-round, they usually dominate them after a loss.
But I would expect Ninkovich to know more about the Patriots than McAfee. That's just me. Call me crazy. And I think it's okay to call him out.
But
it's okay to call him out. I say stupid stuff all the time or incorrect stuff all the time. You can call me out for it. It's fine. But everyone's like, here comes Troll Keefe. I'm like, I'm not Troll Keefe. He was just wrong. He was completely
wrong.
And then whoever the person is that's up there, she has no clue. She's like,
it's been a long time.
Yeah, they never lose twice. That's a good point. Look at the schedule from last year.
Isn't it more on the producers of whoever
produces
these shows?
It's on everybody. They were all
wrong.
How
do you not know that?
They
if
were
you're
all
a producer
wrong.
Saying it.
But that was like it, we were talking about McAfee's assessment of the Patriots before, and when you're like, oh, they have Brady, they have Belichick, they'll figure it out. Like, there's really not a lot of
analysis there. I can't believe I can't get a job at ESPN.
How are you not?
I don't know.
First in line.
Jesus, I need some pitches or something.
Something is going
on. Who's the head of ESPN?
I don't know. They've had some turnover, I think.
Jesus, I need to get a job.
It could be anybody.
And some guy named Tress Way actually started one game.
Tress Way. Nah, that's not right.
617.
He was the punter.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keith with Wiggy, and we get back to your calls next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.